I'd like to go ahead and get started. I want to call this meeting of the Administration Committee to order. Our first item of business is to approve today's agenda. Does anyone have any suggested changes to the agenda? If not, the agenda, does anyone have any suggested changes? No? If not, the agenda is approved as presented. Next is the approval of the minutes of our last meeting. Does anyone have any suggested changes to the minutes? No? If not, the minutes are approved as submitted. We have one action item on our agenda today, a briefing on proposed updates to Metro's Title VI program in order to meet Federal Transit Administration requirements. A little over 3 years ago, staff and the board worked together to put our Title VI program in place. Since then, the plan, and in particular, the public participation portion, has been cited by the FTA as an example for other transit agencies to follow. Title VI ensures that Metro service and programs are open to all persons, regardless of race, color, or national origin. Today, we are being asked to review and update our plan to ensure that we remain in compliance. I'll now turn the floor over to John Kuo, Chief of Internal Business Operations, who will walk us through key portions of the plan and our 2017 updates. Mr. Kuo.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here again. And actually, Mr. James Nguyen's going to be doing the presentation. But before I turn the turn this over to Mr. Nguyen to do the Title VI presentation, I'd like to quickly introduce our new Chief of Fair Practices, which is Mr. Franklin Jones to my right. Mr. Jones now oversees the DBE program as well as the EEO office. So, Mr. Jones, he just joined us back in January of this year. So he's been here roughly about 8-9 months. Okay. So with that, I'd like to turn this over to Mr. Nguyen to do the Title VI presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. As was stated, we're going to talk today about the 2017 Title VI program. I thought I'd bring with me the Title VI program. This is it in its entirety. Now, don't fear. I'm not going to take you through every page in this book. But I did want you to see and understand the magnitude of what went into putting this particular item together. The work of multiple staffs and you, the board, both in 2014 and 2017, working cohesively to produce this product. It was done so well that there are no program changes to be submitted for 2017, just updates. Jennifer will be sending the board an electronic version of this. Hopefully it will not overpower your systems. Go to the next slide, please. I'm sorry, go back one. So today we're here to seek the board approval for the 2017 program and updates. On a triennial basis, the FTA requires that the governing body, you, the Metro Board, is aware of and approves the Title VI plan for the upcoming period. Next slide, please. I thought I'd give you a little history on Title VI. As you hear during various presentations that a change passes Title VI or there's disparate impact or disproportionate burden. Well, Title VI really is not new. Title VI was part of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It has come into prominence in the last 5 to 7 years based on the changing demographics in our major metropolitan areas. Next slide, please. Now, when we look at Metro's commitment to Title VI, it is demonstrated through our equal access. And let's just look at the second bullet. Rail and bus system-wide service standards and policies. Well, in September of 2013, the board reviewed Title VI Metro Bus and Metro Rail Service Standards and Policies. The Title VI standards have been updated and reflect the board-approved changes. The third bullet, Policy Definitions for Equity Analysis, talk to our service changes, the disparate impact for minorities, and disproportionate burden for low income. In October of 2013, the board approved the policy definitions for major service change, disparate impact, and disproportionate burden. These policies are used to evaluate major service changes and fare changes to determine if those changes will have any discriminatory impact on minority or low-income riders. The fourth bullet, complaint procedures. In June of 2014, the board approved the Title VI complaint procedures and complaint summary as part of our 2014 Title VI program. And finally, the last bullet, the Public Participation Plan 2014. In September of 2014, the board approved Metro's first formal public participation plan. We refer to it as PPP. This outlines the strategies for high-quality two-way communication, particularly with minority, low-income, and limited English proficient populations. This is done on all planned projects. The PPP was updated as part of this Title VI program update. And again, we thank the board for their participation in helping put this PPP together. Next slide, please. As I stated earlier, there are no program changes since 2014 for this 2017 update. The updates I will cover in the following slides. Next slide, please. Customer demographics. Passenger survey data from 2016 Metro Rail Travel Trends Survey and the 2014 Metro Bus Passenger Survey indicate that the system as a whole is 60% minority and 28% low income. For the Metro Bus ridership continues to be notably more minority and low income than Metro Rail. In fact, you will see there was a slight increase in the minority and low income bus ridership percentage from 2013 to 2016. Next slide, please. This is a very important chart in our planning processes. Census data was used to identify areas in the region with high concentrations of limited English proficient individuals. Staff uses this information when planning service and fare changes and conducting public engagement activities. Next slide, please. This probably comes as no surprise that Spanish is the predominant non-English spoken language in the region. Mr. Dorsey, you had asked me earlier about African languages. The dominant language based on our census data is Amharic, but we can provide Yoruba, which is one of the spoken languages of the Nigerians. Our census data also showed that along with Amharic, most Africans in the region who identify as African also speak French and or English. After the FTA Triangle Metro review, we agreed to translate our vital documents into the top six languages you see on the chart there. We will also translate in any other language upon request. Next slide, please. Our public participation plan. Metro is required to conduct inclusive public participation and involve minority, low-income, and limited English proficient populations in transportation decision-making. We have a long history of proactive efforts and view this not just as regulatory mandates, but as a way of doing business. In 2014, we created a very good program. Since 2014, Lynn Bowersox and her staff of Sam Raposo and Lisa Schooley have transformed it into a great program. Metro conducts public outreach through various avenues, ranging from street teams passing out information and Metro services to visiting community organizations and holding formal meetings. During this reporting period, more than 1,000 PPP activities, including pop-up events, community-based organization visits, surveys, and open houses were completed. I should also note that members of the Metro Board have been active in many of these events, and we thank you for your participation. In the future, we will also explore the usage of online venues to reach additional populations. Next slide, please. Monitoring. Every 3 years, Metro must conduct monitoring of rail and bus services to ensure minority and low-income customers do not have worse service than other riders. FTA requires review and approval of the monitoring results by the board. Although I'm sure you're familiar with the majority of the terms listed under service standards and service policies, there are sometimes questions regarding what are transit amenities. Well, transit amenities are things such as system maps, benches, and trash cans. To reiterate, there were no disparate impacts or disproportionate burdens identified. Next slide, please. Ms. Harley, you asked a question earlier about rail car usage. This chart shows the average age by car for a given line on an average workday. We have also included in your mail out a detailed report on the entire monitoring process. Next slide, please. Title VI complaints. The FTA requires Metro to have procedures for investigating and tracking Title VI complaints filed against the agency. Customer service representatives have been trained to recognize complaints that may have Title VI implications. Those implications would be race, color, or national origin. Those are forwarded to both the operation area for action and to the Office of Equal Employment Opportunity, OEEO, for review. OEEO, in turn, gets in touch with the customer and provides them with brochures that describe their Title VI rights and a complaint form. We often find that customers are not interested in filing formal complaints. For those who do, OEEO conducts a thorough investigation, which results in a finding and recommendations, if applicable, to the operations area. I contribute the reduction in complaints due to training by staff in rider sensitivity and patience. We refer to this as Title VI etiquette. Of the four formal complaints during the review period, two chose not to take matters forward. One had a no probable cause finding, and one investigation showed probable cause, and the employee was disciplined for that. The discipline was termination. It was due to a national origin complaint. Next slide, please. Other requirements from the FTA focus on Title VI notice to the public. In buses, you will notice a bright green placard, and in the stations affixed to the kiosk is a notice informing passengers what to do and who to contact if they have a Title VI race, color, national origin concern. There is also a requirement for diversity on our non-elected committees. You can see the breakdown there for the RAC and the AAC. We are also required to do service and fare analysis. During the 2014-2016 review period, there were 9 analyses conducted. Of those 9, 1 resulted in a disparate impact and disproportionate burden finding. And I'm sure we all remember the conversations we had here in this room. This was for the SPAN, i.e. closing early initiative. If you recall my earlier comment on public participation, I seriously believe that due to the extensive outreach and feedback we received from our customers, we were able to move forward with this change while demonstrating to the FTA this was the best alternative for the public and for Metro. The annual Title VI certifications and assurances were signed by the GM in March of 2017. Last slide. So next steps is for board approval of the 2017 plan, and we will submit to the FTA by October 1, 2017. And if I can just editorialize on one point that Ms. Rowley mentioned. I've attended a number of FTA sessions where they were training on Title VI, and obviously the presenter knew the audience, and it really gave a good feeling to have the FTA state that Metro has one of the best, if not the best, Title VI program in the industry. And we contribute that to the work of the staff and to you guys, the board, who worked with us in putting this item together. That concludes the presentation, Ms. Rowley.
Thank you, Mr. Nguyen, and thank you for your reports and for the work that you all have done at Metro for this program. It's good to hear that we are leading in this area. I want to open up the floor for questions from committee members first, but first I just had a few follow-up questions. You said that parties that are entering the metro system on the buses, on the they see a bright green placard stating yes. what they can do if they have a Title VI action that they would like to bring. My question, if we can go back to the slide with the top 10 languages on it, how is that notice given out to the public that they could request any documentation in any language that they want to have it reasonably translated in? Is there a number that's given out? Is there a website? Is that on our web page? Is there public documentation for someone moving into the system that needs that service?
Okay. Well, let's start with the first question. The green placard is located inside the bus at the very top of the bus, and it is also a leaflet behind the driver that is in various languages that a person can pick up and see what they need to call, who they need to call, and get in touch with us. Now, as far as vital documents go, we've decided via the conversation with the FDA that all vital documents will be done in those top six. Now, if someone wants something else, they would have to contact us and say, I would like to have this in that language, and we will facilitate that taking place.
Where's that information presented that they can contact you? Is it on the brochure?
Is it
a phone
brochure.
Number that they
phone
would call?
Number. Yes, it is. Anything.
Is it available on the website as
yes,
well?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And you said that the age question for the cars, my follow-up question to that was the headway times. You said that they're within average. It was very deeper in the report. Mm-hmm. But can you clarify that, not just the age of the cars, but also the headways are pretty much equal across?
I don't have it in this presentation, but okay. It is in the information that you guys were given in the BAIS. It
right.
shows the entire breakout as to how we came to that conclusion.
But that is within reasonable?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And you said that this update with the numbers, is that's occurring every 3 years, or is it kind of a rolling data input into what drives this program?
No, the FDA requires that we review this document, and the board approves this document every 3 years.
But the data itself that's driving compliance with
yes.
that, that's
yes.
rolling.
That's
so
correct.
The programs that you describe, they're ongoing?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Is there any other questions, Mr. Dorsey?
Thank you, Ms. Harley. Thank you. Really interesting work, and always glad to see that Metro is taking the lead. I'm curious about a couple of things. One, even though FDA views our programs as models, I'm wondering to the extent that we have intensely looked at other jurisdictions that have similar majority-minority riderships, you know, Philadelphia, the New Yorks of the world, to see if on a very granular level there are things that they are doing that we might incorporate into our program. So a real just direct peer benchmarking scope of work. Do we do any of that?
Well, first, let's go back to when this program was put in place. The 2014 program was a brand new circular. And from 2013 to 2014, every transit agency was in its infancy. We all talked to each other then to ascertain, okay, what are you doing? What can we do and so forth? What can we do better? So since then, as I said, we're head and shoulders above many people. They call us and ask us, what have you done? So, yes, we've talked to folks in New York. We've talked to folks in Philly. We've talked to folks out in San Francisco even. They're asking us, what are you doing? One agency even asked, will we send them a copy of it? So we are head and shoulders above any other agency out there.
That's terrific. I want to remain that way. So I just want to make sure that as, you know, other agencies evolve in their thinking that we're not left behind with any advancements that they make that overtake us. Hopefully that never happens, but I want to make sure it doesn't. So the second question concerns Metro bus amenities and recognizing, as we, I'm sure, all know, that Metro owns very few bus stops and shelters. The public probably doesn't differentiate what is a Metro bus property versus what is the property of a jurisdiction. So to what extent have we, I know we haven't done any analysis of those non-Metro-owned bus shelters, but to what extent are we encouraging jurisdictions to take a look at this so that they can make sure that there are no inequities based on the principles that we have in the bus amenities that are out there.
Yeah, that's something we have to get back to you on because I don't know that.
Okay. I would encourage that scope of work. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Augustine.
Thank you, Ms. Harley. Mr. Nguyen, I'm a bit troubled by what you've said, actually, with regard to particularly this span of service. And you, as the leader of this department, I would not expect you to suggest that the masses are more important than what your purpose is, which is to protect these categories of people. I surely would expect that you would have been disappointed with that instead of suggesting that, you know, that the masses made more sense, you know, versus these protected groups, when it is the purpose of the Title VI to actually provide that protection to the minority groups and to the low-income groups. How can you be doing this job if you're going to take that kind of position when the data shows you that it was a disproportionate impact? How can you do the job if this is going to be your position then?
Well, Title VI doesn't just say you look at the numbers. Title VI also expects the agency to be able to ascertain there is a business needs to do something. And what we did in this case, we put our business need out to the public. The public came back and told us that we understand you have a business need, and of the choices that you gave us, we accept this choice. I mean, to me, that is a business decision.
If it's a business decision, does that supersede the purpose of the program, which is to protect minorities and low-income people? I mean, they're all business decisions. Once again, why have the program then?
Well, I think it's a business decision that takes in consideration that we have to do this. And in speaking with the public, they told us, if you have to do this to run the business, then here's what we would choose that you do.
I just find that wholly lacking in you in this position supporting the groups that you're supposed to be there to protect. I mean, I could understand, and again, I'm very much on each, I'm okay with disagreement as well. I could understand members of the management who are responsible for operations, who are responsible for finance, for them to be making those kinds of arguments. I would completely understand that because they have that as their particular purpose and their goal. That is not yours, is my understanding, okay? Unless I'm misunderstanding Title VI and what it is and what it's there to do. But if it is there to protect those groups, I would expect you to be fighting for that. You may not win. The other side may win because of a decision, but I would expect you to be fighting for that. Do you not see that as your role?
Well, I think we discussed this many, many, many times with me there. I see it this way. The safety of our riding public is paramount. The riding public includes the minority and low income. If that is, in fact, the best way to achieve what needs to be done, then yes, I do support that.
What? What are you talking about?
No.
I'm just trying to understand how that relates to what
I'm
saying.
The question.
How does that relate to what I've asked you, though?
Mr. Augustine, I think what Mr. Nguyen, and please correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. There are two levels to this. There's the, one, assessing the impact of the decisions that we as a board and that management proposes and that the board approves, ensuring under Title VI that we are not thereby imposing a disparate burden or impact on our riders. Not whether the management decision itself doesn't provide a disparate burden or impact based on the status quo. It is not, my understanding, Mr. Nguyen's job to make that determination. He is thereby empowered to ensure that we follow all policies, procedures, and best practices to make sure the decisions that we own meet the test that is outlined by the federal government.
I understand that, Mr. Dorsett. We did not do that, okay? We actually went against what was in there that said that there was a disparate impact. That's all that I'm saying. And so I would expect that he would stand up and raise a hand on that, not sort of just not say it. That's all that I'm saying. We did go against that in the span of service discussion. We did.
That I'm not sure I follow how that works.
There was a disparate impact on minorities and low income that was a part of the change in the span of service. We made a decision and voted for making that change, in essence, superseding, and we did not have any lawsuits or anything with regard to that, although the data did suggest that there was a disparate impact. We have not yet had that. But that was a decision that we made, and I understand that we made a decision. All that I'm suggesting is that I was a little surprised to hear the person who put forth the information and has a responsibility for doing so would be making the argument that I would expect to be receiving from operations and from the finance people. That's all I was suggesting.
Ms. Hudgens.
This has been a long discussion because it occurred during the customer committee. But I think one part that's missing here is that I think in your decision, it's not ignoring the minority view. It is looking at what is the impact of the decision that we would make and what did the public, including the minority public, say about this issue. And to me, it's sort of like there will not be a bus in your neighborhood, period. Doesn't matter who you are, because of this business issue, and this business issue is not going to change. He gave very clearly what might be the minority view or the way, but it can't be effectuated, and that the best way was what where we went. And I know we had this roundabout way, but it's sort of like trying to say to someone, I can give you what you need, but guess what? It's not going to be complete. It will not provide what the outcome that we want. And the outcome was the collective piece there. And we do this all the time at local, but we do first and foremost say Title VI is the measurement. We look to see that the disparity does not exist when we're doing a service. Yes. And rarely do we go in any other direction.
That's absolutely correct. And there is a proviso in the Title VI circular which states an agency organization can go forward with a DIDB finding if it is in the best, very best, for the public and for the organization. That's part of it.
Thank you, Mr. Nguyen. I don't think we need to relitigate this. the evidence that you have provided at this time stands on its face as to what the results to date have been so far out of all of our programs, and I think that they speak for themselves. If there are no other questions, there's a motion on the floor. If we can have a second to proceed. Thank you. All those in favor of providing these updates to the Title VI program, say aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Our meeting is concluded. Thank you. On to Mr. Nguyen.